Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi there, everybody. We're excited that you're with us here today on this wonderful, wonderful fall day. Hope your fall's falling in place. And with me today, Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. Doing good. How are you doing?
Great. Can you mute that little thing that connects us when we're off the air? That would be fabulous.
So we're not echoing.
Other than that, you know, we have too much connection.
Yes.
Well, we just saw
it's reverberating.
That. That's right. Anyway, it's a great day here at New Life, and I hope things are going well for all of you. Tonight, I'll be in Orlando, Women of Faith. Oh, my goodness, what an amazing time this is. Do you know that we're having, sometimes 1,000 people sign up for tv.newlife.com when they find out about it. Maybe you don't know about it, but it's powerful. And, you know, we're adding about 3,000 people a month to tv.newlife.com, 900 programs. And it's probably something that has the worst name of anything that could be named because you don't have to have a TV. It has nothing to do with TV. You see it on your phone. It's like video on demand on your phone, on your computer. If you have a smart television, you could pull it up on TV. But it really does. I mean, you know, just like this woman I was talking to, 65 years in a marriage. She didn't know the guy was a narcissist. She thought all men were like that. Now, come on.
But well, train you, right?
They do train you. Yeah. Well, so she sees the thing on narcissism, changes everything for her. And that's what we want for you. So please check out tv.newlife.com. Also, you know, we've still got this matching gift that we want to match. And so we're waiting to get money out of it for you to put money in. And when you do that, you know, if you give $10, it's $20. $1,000 becomes $2,000. And we've heard people say, I just wish I could give more. This is one way that you can give more by being part of that matching gift. 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out about all of that. And a gift of any amount, we send you the 12 Laws of Life Recovery. That's what Dave and I have put together, part of the Life Recovery series. Now, we need some more members in Club New Life. Be a great time this fall to join up. If you do it, we still have some of our thank you bundle left. You could still be thanked with a coffee mug, a tote bag. There is a thumb drive with the best of, on this thumb drive, the best of tv.newlife.com. John Townsend's book, You Can Do This, and some note cards that I did, the artwork from Israel. All of that, our way of saying thank you. To you. That's when you join Club New Life. You get discounts on so many things. You could go to, if you went to 4 seminars, your Club New Life membership would be paid for just from the discounts that you got, or something like that. Pretty close. So please call us and become part of the giving family. We really could use your support, especially with this matching gift. Now, before we go to the break, October the 9th in Washington, D.C., well, that's every man's battle. And, of course, Club New Life, guys, you get the discount. On November 6th in Dallas, it's the Marriage Solution Weekend. And then Healing is a Choice is also November the 6th in Dallas. What an amazing thing this is to watch people come with all this bitterness and resentment and experience healing. Lene said she went, struggled with self-worth, forgiving herself from the past, failures. Needed a fresh start. She felt like Job. She was amazed. She left with renewed hope, a plan for extended and long-term healing, and all of the trauma in her life She said, I left accepting my past with a new plan. And she wants you to experience that too. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, that's the number that you call. We'll be back after this.
I have suffered and walked through the death of my grandmother and my mother, my stepmother, my son. I've lost my marriage of 30 years.
The Healing is a Choice weekend is coming up November 6th through the 8th in Dallas. Anger, depression, sexual abuse, abortion, grief, and other groups help you focus on just the issue you're dealing with.
I've been stuck.
To register or to find out more, call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
So here I am, and I've had the most fabulous. Every moment has been just awesome. I wish everybody could experience what I've experienced. I'm not stuck anymore.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Dave Stoop. Jill is the author of, well, one of her newest books, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. What a great guide, a great tool to forgiving our fathers and mothers. Now, you take that book, you combine that with Forgiving the Unforgivable by Dr. Dave Stoop and Healing is a Choice that I wrote. You read those three books and you do what it tells you to do, you're going to be a new human being. You're going to have a new life.
Solves all your problems.
Well, it won't solve all of them. You still have to pay the bills.
Yeah,
but it
yes.
will solve quite a few.
It'll get a gift, new
the
perspective.
Triple package.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can order that right there, 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. Well, let's go talk to somebody on the phone. You guys pick.
Let's talk to Denise, who's calling from Orlando, Florida, listens on WTLN.
Hey, Denise, how are you?
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Excellent.
Thanks for taking my call. I so appreciate what you guys do for us out here.
Thank
this
you.
This is not my first time calling, but first time on the radio. Anyway, I'm married to my husband for 18 years, and he's a pleaser. After reading Marilyn and Kay's book, I know that. And I'm having trouble dealing with, I'm in a segment in my life right now for the past 6 years, and everything has changed. And so that causes difficulty in our relationship in the intimacy department. Physical intimacy is a problem. So
okay.
It's not frequent because I'm not well most of the time. And my husband claims that he understands. And we start counseling, and we go for one session, and then he doesn't go back.
Okay.
So when he gets angry or gets tired of waiting or whatever he feels, I totally understand, then he says things to me that hurt deeply, and I want to know how to deal with those hurt and how I can deal with him because I'm so hurt that I avoid because I'm the avoider. So I run when I hear words like, you never deliver, or you don't do anything for me, which is always the same line. So we're doing this dance, and I need help in understanding how do I process that, and what do I do with those feelings? How can I come out and be myself when I'm so hurt?
Okay. Well, let's let Dave maybe start with this, and then I will, and Jill, and then I'll fill in at the end. How about that?
Well, I would say to him, you know, thanks a lot. That really helps me feel better. Somehow, you know, intimacy, sex is all communication. It's a form of communication. And the problem is couples stop talking about it and they just think doing it is enough. And you gotta keep talking about it. And I would be, I don't know how you're going to understand hurtful statements like that. They don't deserve understanding. They deserve to be called what they are, which are hurtful statements that don't help at all because it really is a turnoff. And he should be smart enough to know that.
Well, but it's a you're right, it's a form of communication. It's a lashing out. And if you can, you know, first, okay.
No, that's not good communication.
No,
but
it's not good communication.
Sex is communication, and you're not communicating sexually.
No, but the lashing out, he is, because everything's a form of communication,
right? He's trying
to
communicate.
So he's communicating something. And Denise, if you can first let him know, you know, that's really hurtful and not helpful. I'm wondering what's going on with you that you would lash out at me in such a hurtful way.
Yeah.
Right.
And still, when I do that, his response is every time he lashes out at me, then when I start talking like that, because I listen to you guys every day,
good.
He tells me I'm counseling him.
Say, well,
okay, well.
No, I would say, no, I'm not counseling you. I'm simply telling you.
I'm trying to understand you.
I'm telling you what that does to me. That's not counseling. That's communicating.
And I've been trying that.
So then tell me how I can try to make an inroad here, because your hurtful statements don't work for me. I'm really trying to understand you so I can get past the hurtful statements, because they're so hurtful. So if there's something, if you're feeling hurt, then I really want to understand that so I could have some compassion for you. That's all I'm trying to do here.
Okay. I have a question for you. You ready?
Okay.
Going to have to dig deep. Well, why did you marry this guy? What was so fantastic about him?
Steve, that's a great question.
I was going to say, a little late.
Well, let's hear that great answer. What
well,
was it?
No great answer. I saw this guy and I thought he looked sad. And believe it or not, I went telling him. I said, "Why do you look so sad? I know someone who can help you and make you not sad." I started telling him about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, we got talking. And before you know it, we're together.
Okay. Now I'm going to. I think that might be, if Mother Teresa had ever gotten married, that might have been the scenario. But you're not Mother Teresa, so you got to figure out, you got to tell me something good and positive that drew you to him, in addition to that he was sad, kind of like your father was sad, and you could never fix your dad, but you felt like you could fix him. But there had to be something more than that.
And there was something more. I was in a marriage, and I was a lonely married woman looking for attention.
Okay, so what about him made you think that you would get it from him? What was the plus?
Just looking at him, I spoke to him, and he apparently was looking for the same thing I was looking for.
Okay. You gotta help me here. We're not talking about the first time you saw him. You guys dated. You married him at some place here. And I think you're so into the negative that you've forgotten about this. There were some things you liked about him. You don't just marry somebody that's sad and there's nothing that is appealing, nothing that you like or care about. Tell me something that was great about him, or good, or not so sad.
I'll tell you everything. I have more good to say about him than it is bad.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get, but I might as well be a dentist here.
It's like pulling teeth.
What was positive about this man? Tell me something positive.
Was or is, because he still is a good person.
Tell me something that was attractive about him in the beginning.
In the beginning, he was a caring and continues to be a caring person.
Okay.
Very caring, very kind, very affectionate.
Okay.
Attends to your need. He's that kind of person.
Okay, now, that was really hard to get you to say that.
Okay. Well,
I was starting to think you weren't going to say it. So, when's the last time, with no agenda, he heard those words come out of your mouth?
His birthday, day before yesterday.
Okay. Uh-huh. So you were able to say positive things about him then?
Yes.
And if it hadn't been his birthday, I mean, would you do you do that typically, or is it difficult? Because I can imagine it would be difficult.
No, I do it typically.
Okay.
It's something that we do. I always give him great accolades.
All right. So verbally, he surely must feel like that you're giving him something. You're contributing to the relationship. So it must strictly be that there's nothing physical or sexual in the relationship that is satisfying to him or desirable to him. Is that right?
Yes.
Has anybody talked to you guys about how to be sexual without having sexual intercourse?
No.
Okay. I'm hoping that you could come to our intimacy intensive in February. I think you would really get some great insight here. But see, I think that sexual intercourse has become the issue. And you, for whatever reason, you don't want to be you don't want to have sexual intercourse with him, or you're not in
because,
the mood.
Because your health issues, correct?
Yeah, and all of that.
I want to, but I have so many issues. Okay.
Right, so...
Constant.
So,
I had to quit my job because of the same issues.
Okay. And all of those are justified. So that area of your life, see, is just shut down. But I want to say that there's a whole other world of sexual fulfillment with two people, and intercourse never happens. You know, I know a couple. I would say, if I believe what they say, and I do, they're one of the most sexually satisfied couples. They have a wonderful sex life. They haven't had sexual intercourse in about 15 years because of the pain that it caused her and would cause her if they did that. And so they have found other ways to experience sexual connection and bonding that doesn't involve sexual intercourse. And I just wish you guys would come to the intensive, but in the meantime, I think you've got to look at that. I think you've got to go online and you've got to say, how do we have a sexual life here? And not sexual intercourse.
In spite of the difficulties.
Because
right? Here's
the thing. When my wife and I, when we are fulfilled in our marriage, everything's working. And if that part isn't working, you know, you can say, yeah, that's a reflection of other things that aren't working. But I got to tell you something. When that works, a lot of other things start to work, too, for both of us.
That was my line yesterday, Steve.
What was it?
The line you just said. When that works, everything else works.
Okay. Why? And nobody's talked to you. And nobody's talked to you about this until now. And so I want you to say to him, I think... I know how we could make things better. We need to get off of this thing of whether or not we have sexual intercourse, and we need to find a way at our age to be sexual and have sexual fulfillment and joy in that area. And it doesn't matter if we can have sexual intercourse or not. We can figure this out. Others have their books about it. There are things online and say, let's go together, and let's discover this new way of being together.
And Denise, you know, you
thanks for saying the magic word.
She's willing.
Yeah.
But you
I'm willing. I listen to New Life enough to know that I am so willing, and
good.
I'll be there in February.
Good.
If I could, you know, I know I probably will get in there because I got him to do the class online also.
Great.
And
good.
I know
that's
he's
gonna
willing.
Help.
It's just we're struggling, and we go back to the same place. Every time I want to get past it.
Right. Well, and Denise, you know, you talked about him being such a caring, kind person that attracted you. And yet it seems around sex is when he makes these hurtful, lashing out comments.
Yeah.
And so that's
right.
just more evidence.
And then he'll
evidence.
Comment about, you do everything for everybody else except me.
So he's feeling hurt and rejected, even though he may understand the reasons. He still is feeling rejected.
Yeah, and he lashes out instead of asking for what he wants.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
So when he says, you're counseling me, say, no, we need to talk directly, and you need to understand how I feel, and I need to understand how you feel.
Right.
So
I'm trying to actually be caring about you.
So there is literally hope all over this situation. Mm-hmm. So you hold on. And I want to send you a copy of How We Love by Mylon Kay. I want you to have that. And
I do have it.
Sherry has it because she's an avoider.
Okay, you have that. Yeah. All right. So do you have the 7-minute marriage solution?
No, that one I don't have.
Send that one.
I'll get that for you. Because
thank you.
Talk a little bit about that in here. But I tell you, I think if he saw your willingness to try to take this a different direction, it could mean everything to him. Hopefully it would motivate him to figure out how to talk nicely to you and draw you in and woo you again the way you deserve to be. That's what I would hope for. All right, I'm glad you called. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to find out about that intimacy intensive. That's in February. Of course, Marriage Solution Weekend's coming up in November. And we talk about these kinds of things there. Last time we did it, Mylon and Kay did a little bit about sexual intimacy. And people loved it. They said, oh, man, that's what we need to hear. Because if somebody is not confident and somebody's not competent, there's going to be a problem there. And we can help you with that. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll take a break. We'll come back for more of New Life Live right after this. Really glad you're with us here today. Thanks for joining us. Hang on.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person. For the first time in my life, I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Glad you're with us here today on New Life Live. And, you know, we were talking about it, and it is there. It's this workshop in February. You'll love it if you come. I think there are things in there that you won't find in any other workshop, any other place, any other ministry. Francis Chan starting that off, and then Marilyn Meeberg, and then Jason and Shelley Martinkus. Doesn't get much better than that. And then Mylon and Kay Yurkovich are going to go into all areas of intimacy, including sexual intimacy. The goal, sexual competency and confidence. It's hard for me to imagine any place that could be more helpful than that weekend. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you all about it. Well, let's go to our next caller. What do you have there, Dave?
Who's up? We have Sarah calling from Cleveland, Ohio. She's a stitcher. I don't know what a stitcher is.
Sarah, how are you?
Yes, I'm good. How are you?
Great. What's going on? What is a stitcher?
That's the online app.
Oh, got it. You listen on Stitcher.
Okay.
Got that.
I'm good.
Thinking she's in the
Thanks
knitting
for
club.
That, yeah.
No.
Sorry for being out of it.
We're just not that up to date, and I'm not that up to date on technology.
I was thinking you were an old so-and-so, and it has no relation to. Okay. Well, how could we help you? What's going on?
Okay, so I have a question about my question is, how can I get over or kind of overcome my thoughts and feelings about money, marriage, and men? And so the background is that I am dating a man who he works and everything. We both work. We're both financially stable.
Mm-hmm.
But so I'm not engaged yet, but he has went to my parents and my pastor and people that are very close to me, my inner circle. He has went to them to talk to them about proposing. And so they've told me, and so of course I'm excited. But I have some reservations, not really about him, but just about what's going on internally. And so that's
okay.
My cause. So my problem is that I grew up in a two-parent home, and my dad, though, did not work at all. My mom was the breadwinner, and my mom hated it. She complained. She grumbled about it. It wasn't her thing. And so I learned that I did not want to do that. I did not want to be the breadwinner if I ever were to get married. The thing is that my grandmother, my mother's mother, also had the same issue with her husband. Her husband worked, but he gambled the money. And so they had five children, and my grandmother had to get two jobs to support their children because he did work, but he would not provide. He would gamble. And so now I look at these patterns, and there are other patterns in my family, but I look at these two patterns, and I'm like, you know, I don't want to do this. I, in particular with my mother, I have seen how she has really struggled. She did not have a high-paying job. We were very, very poor. And so I'm at the point now where I'm looking at getting married soon. And my attitude, quite frankly, is, and I know this is kind of bad, that's why I'm calling, is that I don't even want to help out financially if, let's say, my husband were to be disabled or laid off or something happened, you know, like out of his control. I don't want to even help because I feel that I've watched how men have kind of sat on the sideline and have not said, you know, where I am the man, I'm the husband, and I'm not going to allow you to take the whole burden.
Okay, so we get it. We get it. Now, what's the question for us then? Okay, what's the question for us then?
So what do I do with these thoughts? I'm kind of selfish, but I don't know what to do with what. How do I get over that? What do I do with that and with the possibility of entering a, you know, engagement and a marriage?
Hey, Sarah.
Okay, let's hear what Dr. Stoop has to say first, and then Dr. Hubbard.
Sarah, you got to get mad at the dad that lives in your head.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Because, see,
That you will project onto your husband if you
don't. And if you don't do, if you don't get rid of that voice in your head, you'll cooperate in some weird way to where your husband does become your dad, no matter who you marry and no matter what precautions you take. You got a generational pattern, and the way you break generational patterns is you allow yourself to be angry at the person that you're angry with, not your father literally, because it's the internalization of your father that you've got to deal with. And as you allow yourself to be angry at the disappointments you experience with him, that separates you, that pushes him away, and it mutes his voice in your head, and or your mother's voice in your head in terms of her anger towards him. And you have every right to be angry because of the pattern he implanted.
They both established because she could have done something different as well.
Yeah, she did,
right?
And she didn't. She chose to just suffer and put up with it, and that didn't help you either. So, that's how you deal with it. And not all men are lazy. Just you got two of them in your family: a grandfather and a father.
But here's the thing: you're doing something that is fraught with difficulty. Anytime you're making decisions or living your life in reaction to something, see, your whole thing with men is a reaction to men in the past that have nothing to do with the men in the present. You wouldn't want to raise a child in reaction to the way you were raised, right?
Sure.
You want to raise the child the way the child needed to be raised. Well, you're living your life in reaction to those men versus what you need, what you want, what can be so fulfilling to you. Mm-hmm. We'll talk more after this. Yeah.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical or doesn't make sense or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I want to tell you about our We Dared campaign and urge you to go to WeDared.com and take the challenge to starve your eyes for 30 days. You know, men are bombarded with sexual images every day. It's really hard to avoid. But we all have choices to make and a responsibility to be intentional about what we choose to look at and to think about. We want to help you do that. If you take the challenge at WeDared.com to starve your eyes for 30 days, we'll send you an email each day with encouragement and tips to keep you on track. We'll provide free downloadable Bible studies for men, young men, and even the tween men in preparing your son for every young man's battle. You could even learn how to start an Every Man's Battle group for sexual integrity. It's all there at WeDared.com. I hope you'll take the challenge to 30 days of sexual integrity and sexual purity. For more information, go to WeDared.com and take that challenge. I dare you to do it.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. I'm really glad you're with us here today, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Dave Stoop. And, you know, we're just talking about one of these dilemmas where things happen to us, and then we set out and we, you know what, we make these vows, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think kind of we've got a vow here. Hey, I am never going to take care of a man the way my mother, grandmother, ever, you know, other people in my family have taken care of. And so you make that vow. You know, that's really taking matters into your own hands. And you never want to marry if your thought is, your feeling, I don't care if he's disabled, I'm not going to support him. That's not
a
marriage.
It's a
don't
false sense of
forward.
Security, too, Steve, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You think that by saying that, you're somehow going to protect yourself from life happening.
Yes.
And the truth is, there is no guarantee. Life happens. So it is in dealing with these issues. And Sarah, it's so great that you're bringing this up now. Beforehand.
But in reality, Sarah, the pattern is continued by focusing on what you don't want.
Right. Right.
Because what you don't want is what you'll get if you're if you're not aware of it. So one of the things that I would suggest to you is that you have to define what you do want. Mm-hmm. And
well, what do
work
you
towards
want?
That.
Let's hear about that. Yes. What do you want?
Well, I do work now, but I would, when I get married, I would like to have the choice to stay home when if I have children, in particular to raise them and to be a homemaker, and then you know if when my children as they grow and according to their needs, and I wouldn't mind returning to the workforce, but that's really what I want. I want a man that is able to financially provide for our family.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me paraphrase.
And that values having a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, so let me paraphrase a scripture that actually applies here. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Well, I think that's great, but what would it benefit you to be financially secure in staying home with the kids? if your husband, who always worked hard and you never had to ask for anything, he put more than enough money in your bank account every month, but your husband worked so hard, he was never home with you, never home with the kids. He was never around because he knew the one thing you valued was a hard-working man. Boy, he went out there and he worked hard. What would it benefit you to be financially secure and absolutely alone in your marriage? You see what I'm getting at?
Steve, I certainly understand where you're going with this. That makes sense. I guess I would want a balance, of course. But I get what you're saying. I mean, I know that's what you're referring to, and it makes perfect sense. And, yeah, I see. I thank you for pointing that out, because I never thought about that, because I've been focusing on the financial part of, you know, a relationship. And so I never thought of it like that, but that's a good point. So I wouldn't want that, of course.
Because see, I think when you throw this out, the person that you're going to marry, if he knew this, and he needs to know it, if he's not very stable or a good worker, he'll run, maybe. But if he is a hard-working workaholic type, he'll be drawn to you. Like, oh, man, I'm going to be able to make her happy. I hate being around the house anyway. I don't even like kids. I'll give her some. She can raise them. I'll be out there earning that money she needs to be secure.
Well, and it's a different package, but it's the same problem.
Yes.
Right? Because you're rich in finances, but you're poor in relationship.
So it's finding the balance.
And that would be a repeat of your family. It's someone who doesn't step up to the plate as being a partner. Right?
Now, do you catch what she's saying, Sarah?
I do.
Okay, yeah, you're a sharp lady. You're from Cleveland, after all.
You know, what I love is yesterday I was doing some radio programs. Lady called in. She could care less what we had to say. she had this thing that she said, then we gave her all this advice, and then she said the exact same thing again about what she was going to do. And thank you for responding to something that we say. My self-esteem is destroyed all night. No one cares.
Well, she's like really trying to figure this out.
Yeah. I love that about you. Your willing spirit is wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you a spiritual renewal Bible just to reward you for your willing spirit. But here's the main thing. You must, this guy that's gone to your parents, you must talk to him about this. And you got to say, you know,
premarital
I'm working. Yeah.
Stuff.
Well, so send this her, is something I'm working on, working
her,
through.
Send her Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, my copy of that, too, so
yes,
that she
that
can have
good.
A
okay.
resource.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
And I think, Steve, what you said about, you know, focusing on what you do want and what you do value, I think, has more mileage.
Right.
Exactly.
So no vows, like I'll never get rid of those. No conclusions, like all men are. And just take it a day at a time. And we'll send you these books. Hopefully, you'll experience some healing there. But also, you know, if you could ever get to a Healing is a Choice workshop, that would really help you in this whole journey that you're on. And God bless you for calling.
Let's take another call here before we come to the break.
Sure. All right.
Let's talk to Lydia, calling from Bowie, Maryland, or Missouri. Where are you from, Lydia?
Wherever are you from, Lydia? Lydia, are you there?
Well,
no, Lydia.
I guess we'll...
Well, you know...
We'll go to Rachel, then, from Tampa,
Rachel.
Florida, who watches on NRB.
Let's don't care where she's from. Let's be more concerned about where she's going. Okay, Rachel.
Oh, wow. Profound.
How are you, Rachel?
Hi, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call today.
Sure. What's going on?
All right. So I'm 19 years old, and over the past few years, I want to say like 5 or 6 years, I've been having a problem connecting with my mother. We just don't have a very strong relationship, and she seems to always sort of throw it in my face, sort of tell me how she used to have a really great relationship with her mother, and we don't have that same relationship, and she tends to blame it on me a lot, and I'm not sure what to do about it.
Wow.
That's really...
Well, that's interesting, since she's the common denominator. She was in the other relationship, you weren't.
Right.
Right? But...
Right.
Well, you need to say, how did you blow it, Mom?
Did you not learn it well?
you didn't bring the skills that your mother taught you to me. How come? No, there's always a struggle between mothers and daughters, and your mother may be idealizing what she did have with her mother, because there was a fascinating book written some years ago. Just the title says it all. It was My Mother, Myself. Mm-hmm. And every daughter has to struggle with, how do I differentiate myself from my mother and be my own person? And that's what you typically do in your teens and early 20s, is that task, you know. So I think what I would do is say, Mom, when you talk to me like that, you're not helping the situation, and you should know mm-hmm. that.
And right, because if you're feeling blamed, it doesn't make you want to draw close to her.
No.
And she's doing the common mistake that we women do, is we tell all the negatives thinking that that's going to bring somebody in, right?
Right, exactly.
Work.
It's called criticism. Huh?
Yes. Criticize you to health.
Yeah.
Doesn't work at all.
I can't communicate because I get to, I feel blamed and I feel like I'm doing something wrong, but I don't mm-hmm. really know what that is.
Hey, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Are you willing to play the part of an adult here?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because, very much so.
Because she needs an adult, and 19 it's still pretty, I mean, you're a teenager still, you know. But it would mm-hmm. be great if, rather than get angry and feel rejected, if you were able to put on the adult mask or jump inside the adult soul and say, you know what, this is not about me. This is about her. So I'm going to try to help her here. Mm-hmm. And you say, and so rather than get angry, you kind of become Sherlock Holmes. You become a detective. And you go, wow, Mom, that must be so frustrating to have had this great relationship with your mother, and now you can't have it with me. What could I do that would make you feel better about our relationship? And just listen to her. And Mom, what are the things I do that kind of you feel like rejecting me, or like you don't want to be around me? What are those things? And just do some exploring. I think you'll be fascinated by her answers, but just that you care about her, rather than you're reacting as a teenager might react, which you're justified to do, might build a little bond between the two. I don't know.
Okay. I definitely think that would help.
But let me tell you something. This is not about you. Not about you. And it's sad when an adult says to a child, it's too bad we can't have the same kind of relationship I had with my parents.
Yeah, as if mm-hmm.
As if somehow you could change all of that.
Yeah, by complaining.
Right, yeah.
Hang on a bit, Rachel, because I've got something I wanted to add.
Okay, good. We'll be back after this.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number. And I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. And Dave, you said you wanted to explore this a little deeper. This 19-year-old whose mother says, "You're the reason that we don't have as a wonderful a relationship as I had with my mother."
Well, I think what I wanted to add, Rachel, is that you talked to her about... Steve already gave you some things to talk about. I wanted to add a couple more and say, tell me what was so great about your relationship with your mom when you were when you were my age. How did you manage that, and how did your mom manage it? You know, and get her to talk about it, because my sense is it's not quite what she thinks it is.
Right. It'd be interesting when you actually ask her things.
Yeah.
The answers that she does come up with, right? Because she does have it kind of idealized in her
head. Yeah, the idealization is there. Yeah.
You know, and maybe even ask her, what would you do when you would get frustrated with your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Great idea.
And just kind of dialogue about it, but show that interest and draw her out. And right there, you guys are having more of a relationship as you're doing that.
Okay.
Right.
What are we going to send her, Steve?
Well, I think... John and Henry have a book. You mentioned one, but the book "Our Mothers, Ourselves." That's the title of their book.
Oh, yeah.
Versus "My Mother, Myself." It's "Our Mothers, Ourselves."
Yeah.
I'm going to send that. Okay.
I forgot about that book. Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah. But I thank you so much for calling us at 19, saying
yes,
asking
this. Good question.
Good
and, you know, just be sure you've got some good support, somebody that understands, isn't going to judge you or anything like that, okay?
Let's go to the next call. Tony's
Let's
calling from Decatur, Georgia.
Hi there.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, I have bipolar disorder, and I take medication for it.
Good for you.
Good.
And I take medication for my illness.
And
I live with my younger sister, but she doesn't treat me very well. I don't like how I'm being treated.
Hmm.
And my older sister says I can come live with her. The thing is, my older sister is much nastier than my younger sister.
but I
spoke to her, and she said she changed. But she's not nasty anymore. But I don't know if I can buy that. And I don't want to jump out of the frying pan and into the fire.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Don't blame you. Why don't you go for a visit? And go visit your older sister. Just have a break from the younger one.
What do you think?
I could do that.
Say, well, let's just have...
But I'm wondering if I should stay here and take my lumps with my younger sister, or I should just leave.
I think Jill's giving you
a great
plan.
I think you need a break. I think
go check it out.
Take a vacation.
Any two people living together, every so often you can use a break. So take the opportunity, have a vacation, go stay with the older sister. And
just stay a week or two.
Just stay a week and then, come back.
And come back.
Don't make any decisions while you're there.
Okay.
Because anybody can be nice on a vacation, right? But just go and get a feel for it as best you can, and also have the break from your younger sister, and then see how it is when you go back with your younger sister.
Now, do you have anybody that's helping you out, that helps you figure this stuff out?
Well, I see a psychiatrist.
Okay.
But have you developed any friends and anything that you do, some of the places you go?
No. Along with the illness, I get paranoid. Anytime I'm around people I go out in the public, I get paranoid.
Yeah, okay. Mm.
So I don't have too many friends.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, I would tell my psychiatrist, I'd really like to figure out some way, somewhere, that maybe I could help somebody or do something for somebody else where I'd have a little connection there.
Right. Where you can have some
And
more relationships, you know, so you're not feeling so dependent on one person.
Well, right. You're doing something that's meaningful, that gives you some purpose, yeah.
Yeah, so you say, man, I think I might really find some enjoyment out of helping somebody else. And just see if he could help direct you a little bit there, okay?
Okay.
All right. I'm so glad you called. You hold on. I'm going to send you a Spiritual Renewal Bible, and I hope you like that, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. God bless you, and thank you for calling us, okay?
Appreciate it, Tony.
Right. There are also groups, too, to help you work through some of those social obstacles, for people.
And your psychiatrist would know about those.
Yeah, psychiatrist would.
Right.
And there's probably something he could give you that would deal with the paranoia. At least to a point to where you could relate.
So many people have been helped so much. And, you know, like I was telling those people at Townsend's thing, you know, somebody might say, well, you know, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he never took medication. Well, no, he didn't have a dentist either. And maybe if he had had medication, he wouldn't have been doing the things that he didn't want to do and not doing the very things that he wanted to do, as he explained in Romans 7. So, anyway. All right. Well, we're about out of time. If you need some help, you call us. The Marriage Solution Weekend's coming up. And, you know, Annette said that workshop was such an eye-opener to the changes that she needed to make. And her vacillating ways, she left with tools and hope for a better marriage, and she'd tell anybody to go. Before the workshop, boy, she was full of all this anxious control over everything that her husband was doing or not doing. He was a pastor, a husband, and a father. She didn't like any of it, and so she was able to give up control. We see that all the time. I don't know what it is that's hurting you, that you're struggling with, but I know that God wants to use that to build character, to dredge out the depths of your character, to build your soul, to recover the soul that maybe you don't even know what's there. You don't know who you are anymore. It's just all about the struggle. You call us. Let us find a resource for you. Let us help you. One of the best resources, if I do say so myself, is this brand new book, The 12 Laws of Life Recovery. It tells you 12 things. You do these things, and this right over here is going to be the result. Just like when we surrender, when we finally give up to God, what do we get? Oh my goodness. We finally experience this divine power and direction and leadership that we've never ever felt before. When we humble ourselves, we get honor that we would have never experienced before. So it's all right there in the 12 laws. It's our way of saying thank you for any gift of any amount. And you can't give very little. If you give $5, well, because of our match, you're actually giving 10, see? If you give a dollar, you're really giving 2. So it's really a great time to give and watch that be doubled. $10 is $20. $1,000. $2,000 when you give it right now. Please help us. If you can, you find out how to do that at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And all of the workshops and the things that we've got going are right there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. People are on the phones waiting for you to call. They want to help you. Their whole life is it's centered around wanting to help people just like you. But you have to pick up the phone. Sometimes that phone weighs 2,000 pounds. But it helps when you just do it. Pick up the phone. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Jill, thank you so much for being with us here. And Dr. Dave Stoop, thank you so much for all that you do. Both of you, such great, great sources of wisdom and insight. Their books, How to Forgive or Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, and then Forgiving the Unforgivable. And then, Dave, your book on dads is...
Making Peace with Your Father.
Making Peace with Your Father. Who doesn't need to make a little peace with their dad? Maybe he's not been around for years. But you can always make more peace. Always go a little deeper. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, it's the same number. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Hope you have a great day today. God bless you. God loves you. If you don't feel that, get involved in a really healthy church. God wants you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.